Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
2 Samuel chapter number 5, we'll pick up reading in verse number 1. Then came all the tribes of Israel to David unto Hebron and spake, saying, Behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. Also in time past, when Saul was king over us, thou wast he that led us out and brought us in Israel. And the Lord said to Israel, Thou shalt feed my people Israel, and thou shalt be a captain over Israel. So all the elders of Israel came to David in Hebron, and David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. Now, you that knows your Bible knows that he has already been reigning over a part of it, but now he is made king over all of Israel. Go with me to verse number 7. The Bible said this, Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion. The same is the city of David. For the sake of time, go to verse number 9. So David dwelt in the fort and called it the city of David. And David built round about from Milo and inward. And David went on and grew great, and the Lord God of hosts was with him. Note again, verse number 10. And David went on and grew great, and the Lord God of hosts was with him. That word went on, or the phrase went on, whenever you study it out, it means this. It means that he went going and growing. He wasn't just going, but he was growing also. In other words, the Lord was blessing the life of David. Why did God bless the life of David? Because David went on. Boy, that's simple, isn't it? But it's profound. David went on. In other words, David just didn't belly up in the valley, but David decided, I'm going to go on and I'm going to do something for the Lord. And I want to preach to you on this thought for just a little while tonight. What motivated David to go on? What motivated David to go on? Father, I love you tonight. I pray that over the next few minutes, God, that you'd illuminate our mind. Preach us, oh God, empower and unction and demonstration of the Holy Spirit of God. We'll give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. Whenever you come to this passage, I've already said this, but David is being king or crowned king over all of Israel. When you come to these first few verses, you'll find that there is the remembrance of service. The Bible said in verse number 2, also in times past when Saul was king over us. I'll say this to you in passing, it's very interesting that when you study the life of David, that David always gave reverence and respect to Saul. He always humbled himself to Saul. Even though Saul sought to kill him, even though Saul sought to destroy him, why did David do that? Here's the reason David done that. Number one, because he was a man of God. But here's another reason David done that. It's because Saul was the anointed of God. There was a time that God had anointed Saul, and David always remembered the anointing hand of God on Saul, and he always paid him reverence. There's the remembrance of service. But then when we come to verse number 3, we find that there is the reign of David. In verse number 3, 4, and 5, David begins to reign over over all of Israel. When you come to verse number 6 through verse number 8, you'll find that there is the resistance of the Jebusites. You see, as soon as Saul, or as soon as David began to do what God had called him to do and what God had anointed him to do, there was a resistance to follow that. Hear me and hear me well tonight. When you decide by the grace of God that you're going to live for God, that you're going to serve God, that you're going to go with God, that you're going to walk with God and live in the presence of God, there will be a resistance that comes against you. I believe this tonight based on the authority of God's word. Once saved, always saved. The devil knows that he cannot get my salvation from me based on the authority of God's word. When I got saved, I was sealed by the Holy Ghost of God. You know what that means tonight? That the Holy Ghost has my salvation sealed. It's not me keeping my salvation. It's the Holy Ghost keeping my salvation. Amen? And the devil knows that he can't get my salvation. So since he can't get my salvation, you know what he tries to do? He tries to discourage me. He tries to get me despondent to the house of God. He tries to get me depressed and downhearted. There'll always be a resistance from this world and from the devil when you decide to follow God. Oh, but when we come to verse number 9 and verse number 10, there is the resolve of David. He says, you know what? It don't matter what everybody else does. It don't matter what everybody else says. It don't matter which way the world's going. It don't matter which way some other church is going. It doesn't matter which way some other preacher's going. He's got a resolve in his heart that by the grace of a holy God and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, I'll go on for the service of God. What motivated David to do that? What motivated David to go on? What drove David to keep going? I want to say something to you tonight. If you're looking for a reason to quit, you'll not have to look very far. Amen? If you're looking for a reason to throw in the towel, you'll not have to look very far. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. It's like Jeremiah said, it's a burning fire shut up in my bones. I don't want to quit. I don't want to throw in the towel. I don't want to change directions. By the grace of a holy God, I want to finish this fight. I want to live right. I want to talk right. I want to walk right. I want, when Jesus comes back and calls me home, for him to find me faithful in the service of God. Something motivated David to go on. I thought about this. I'm headed somewhere. I thought about this. There was the course that was continued. The Bible said, and David went on. David went on. We don't need to change course tonight. We don't need to change Bibles tonight. We don't need to change music tonight. I want you to hear me, and I want you to hear me well. This Bible still works. When I say this Bible, I make no apologies that I stand firm on the authorized King James Version of the Word of God. I don't need to change that. We don't need to change our music. We don't need to change what we're doing around here. I promise you God's pleased in it. And there's a chorus that David continued. Which is, the Bible said that David went on. There was the capacity that was considered. What did the Bible say? And grew great. David just didn't go on. Man, he became the greatest king that Israel ever saw. Matter of fact, the Bible said this about David, that he was a man after God's own heart. Ain't nobody else ever had that said about him. Are you hearing me? John didn't have that said about him. Peter didn't have that said about him. Abraham didn't have that said about him. Moses didn't have that said about him. But you always said about old Dave right here, it said that he was a man after God's own heart. Can I just say this to you? That means that he grew great. He may not have grew great in the world's eyes, but it's not about growing great in the world's eyes. It's about growing great in our Father's eyes. Well, yeah, there was, of course, there was continued. There was the capacity that was considered, but think about this, and then I'll give you the thought and we'll go home. There was the company that was contributed. What did he say? He said, David went on and grew great. Now, what's the rest of the verse say? It says, this, and the Lord God of hosts was with him. Let me tell you the reason David done what he done. Because of God. Can I just say that again? Because of God. If we make anything out of our lives, and I'm not talking about in a worldly view, you can go get a job, you can make millions of dollars and never even know who God is and be successful in this world. But I want to tell you something. One day when we stand in the presence of a thrice holy God, if we're going to hear Him say, well done, thy good and faithful servant, there's only one way that we're going to do that, and it's through the help of God Almighty. We've got to have Him. We can't do it without Him. We can't sing without Him. We can't play instruments without Him. We can't preach without Him. We can't have church without Him. We've got to have Him. We've got to have Him. There was the company that was contributed. It was the Lord God of hosts. That's the way David done what he did. Well, then he says that he went on. David went. Well, what motivated David to do this? What motivated David to go on? Well, as you continue reading past verse number 10, you'll note that the Bible begins to give the names of David's children. And in that day, names meant something. They just didn't name a kid Johnny because. No, they meant something. And I want you to know what the Bible said in verse number 16. And Eliashima, and Eliada, and Eliphalet. Number one, whenever I read that, I thank God for Jonathan. You'll get that in a minute. I'm glad Mom didn't name me any one of those three. I'm thankful for Jonathan tonight. Amen. What motivated David to go on? Let's look at these three kids and see what their names mean, and maybe we can see what motivated David. Number one tonight, what motivated David to go on? The Bible said that there was Eliashima. Whenever you study that name out, you begin to look at it and study it, simply here's what that name means. My God hears. My God hears. What motivated David to go on? Let me tell you what motivated him to keep going. He had a God that heard him. Well, let me say it again. He had a God that heard him. I'm reminded of what the Bible said in Psalms 120 and verse number 1. He said, in my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and He heard me. I don't know about you, but in those times when I get tired and I get give out and I want to throw in the towel and quit, I just have to go back and be reminded that I've got a God tonight that hears me. I'm glad that whenever I pray, I'm not praying to a dead God. I'm not praying to a statue. I'm not going to some guy that's behind a curtain that's probably living a more wicked life than I am. Oh, but no, I walk straight in to the throne room of a holy God, and I've got a presence with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Preacher, what keeps you going knowing that God hears me when I talk to Him? What did He say in Jeremiah 33? He said, call unto me, and I will answer thee. Can I just say something to you tonight? What should motivate you to keep going in these days is knowing we've got a God that hears us. Sometimes we wonder. You might as well say amen. Sometimes we wonder, is He really listening? Can I say to you tonight, I'm glad that He's really listening. Amen. I'm glad that He hears us tonight.
He's not had to get no hearing aids. Brother William said, praise the Lord. He acts like he's been there before. He's not had to get no hearing aids. I'm glad that I've got direct access. I don't have to call you. I don't have to ask you if I can. Let me tell you, if you'll get, you say, preacher, that's so simple. Well, won't you get a hold of it? That the creator of all the world, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God, that the creator of all the world, the one that flung the stars out in the skies, the one that made the rolling mountains that we enjoy, it's him. And when I call him, when I talk to him, thank God he hears me. Oh yeah, number one. What motivated David to go on? Well, I would say this, number one. It was because of Elisha, my God hears. Number two, the Bible says this here in verse number 16. And Elisha, and then he says, and Eliada. Eliada. Here's a very interesting name. Here's what this name means. It means this: my God knows and my God cares. Not just he knows. It's one thing to know. You ever make this statement to anybody? Well, do you even care? Do you even care? Can I tell you something tonight? God not only hears, but my God knows and my God cares. It's just not that he knows what I'm going through. It's just not that he knows what I'm faced with. It's just not that he knows the valley that I'm in. It's not just that he knows, but he cares about it. Matter of fact, what did the Bible say? The Bible said this in Hebrews. He said that we don't have a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. You know what that means? Here's what that means. That every struggle I've ever had, he knows about it and he cares about it. And the reason he cares about it is because there was a day that the God of all glory left God in the form of his son and came to earth and was born by the way of a virgin by the name of Mary. And you know what happened? Those 33 and a half years, he walked through valleys. He walked through hardships. He was tempted. He was tried. So he knows what we've been through. He knows what we are facing. And he just don't know about it. Oh, but thank God he cares about it. He cares. He knows where you're at, but he cares where you're at. One of my favorite chapters in the entire Bible, one of my favorite chapters is John 11. I love John 11. Man, I love John 11. And I know I've said some of this, but I'm going to say it again, it'll be all right. One of my favorite verses is verse 35. John 11, 35 said, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. And you know, there's a lot of guys that it's just super spiritual and don't have any common sense. And I could call some names, so I'm not going to. But they're super spiritual and don't have no common sense. And they said, well, bless God, the only reason Jesus cried right there was because Mary and Martha didn't have any faith and didn't care. And that's the reason Jesus is crying. It's because of their lack of faith. I beg a differ with you. I don't believe that. I don't believe you got no Bible to back up. I don't believe that. Let me tell you the reason that Jesus cried right there. Well, the Bible said this: he whom thou lovest is sick. It goes on to say it that he died. Let me tell you one reason Jesus cried right there: because Lazarus died. That was his buddy. That was a man that he loved. That was a man that he had fellowshipped with. And you know what? Oh, yes. He was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. We don't have a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And let me tell you one of the reasons he was crying right there. Here's the reason why. His body was dead. And it moved him. He was flesh. Oh, yes, he was humanity. Here's another reason he cried. Because Mary and Martha was crying. Because Mary and Martha was crying. And let me tell you what he done. Here's what I think he done. They come running up to him. He said, girls, now you're not going to read this in the Bible, but I believe when we get to heaven, he'll tell me I was right. He said, girls, get around. Man, this is Christ. This is God incarnated in me. Hey, girls, come here. It's going to be all right. But tell you what I'm going to do. He knew what was fixing to happen. See what he done? There ain't a doubt in my mind. He just hugged up on him. He said, if you're going to cry, I'm going to cry with you. You know what? I'm a groupie in two ways. Number one, if you go to puking, I'm going to puke too. Boy, y'all wasn't expecting that, was you? I'm just telling you, Brother Brian, I can't take it. Somebody goes to puking, John's leaving. John's leaving. If Leslie's out of town, she's coming home in a hurry. Number two, you go to crying. I may not even know what you're crying about. But you know what I'll do? I'll just put my arm around you and we'll cry a while together. You say, well, you're soft. I don't care what you say. I'm married. I got three daughters. I care less what you think. I'm going to cry. There's been times. I remember Brother Dorsey got done preaching one night in revival. No more than got done preaching. We walked down the house to eat. Brother Josh called, said, Miss Helen had fell over, and they was trying to get her back. They called 911, and me and Red jumped in the truck, took off. It was snowy and icy that night. We got up there, and when I walked up to Miss Tanya and Brother Josh, you know what? I couldn't say nothing to fix it. Brother Aaron, there was nothing I could say to fix the situation. You know what I done? I just put my arms around both of them. You know what I'd done? I laid my head on one of them's shoulder for a little while. Then I laid my head on the other one's shoulder for a little while. And we just stood there in a huddle. And you know what we done? We cried. You know, let me tell you the reason why. I knew they had a problem. And I cared about their problem. I want you to hear me tonight. Let me tell you the reason Jesus was crying in John 11:35. Here's the reason why. He knew they had a problem, but he not only knew about it, he cared about it. Aren't you thankful tonight that when we hit the storms of life and our world is turned upside down, that Jesus just don't care. Jesus just don't know. Jesus cares at the same time. He cares. He really does care what you're facing with. He really does care what you're going through. Hey, if it matters to you, it matters to the Master. It don't matter how small it may be or how big it may be. If it matters to you, it matters to Him. He knows and He cares. He knows and He cares. Well, what motivated Him to go on? Because he knew God heard, because he knew God knew and that God cared. But number three, boy, I'm thankful I didn't get this name, Eliphalet. Are you with me? Anybody else thankful for your name? Say amen. Here's what it means. David said, I'm going to go on because God hears. I'm going to go on because God knows and God cares. David said, I'm going to go on because of Eliphalet. Here's what it means. It means my God delivers, or a God of deliverance. You know what he was saying? Here's what he's saying. Weeping, I read it to you this morning, may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. God didn't put you where you're at to stay there. David said, you know what, I'm going to go on. And here's the reason I'm going to go on, because I've got a God that delivers. This is not the end of the story. Can I just say it again? This is not the end of the story. This is not it. Hey, if in this life only, Paul said it this way, if in this life only I had hope, I'd be of all men most miserable. But aren't you thankful that our hope is not in this world? Our peace is not in this world. Hey, our comfort is not in this world. Thank God we've got a God. And one day soon, I really believe, he'll look over at the sun and he'll say, go get your bride, and God will deliver us. He will deliver us. You remember what he said in Job. Miss Daniel makes her way to the piano. You remember what he said in Job chapter number 19? Here's what he said in Job chapter number 19. He said this. He said in verse number 25. He said, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh, listen, shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. You know what he was saying? He was saying this. I know that there's coming a day. You know what for years? Over 30 years now, through the eye of faith, I've been believing and seeing the Lord Jesus Christ. Through the eye of faith, we preach. Through the eye of faith, we believe. Through the eye of faith, we sing. Oh, but thanks be unto God, there's a day coming that my faith will end. Hey, when I see him face to face, when I lay my eyes on him, the one who died for me, my faith will be gone and it'll be reality. Amen. He delivers. He delivers. He's going to get us out of here. This ain't it. This ain't all there is to it. Thank God there's a brighter day coming when the Lord himself will call us out of here. He said, I know my Redeemer liveth. He knew about a Redeemer. He knew about a Returner. He knew about a resurrection. And he knew about a Returner. You know what he said? He said, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another. Thank God there'll be a day that we will see him who died for us. I don't know tonight. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're faced with. I don't know the storms of your life, but for some reason today, the Lord's just settled us in this right here. It's really the theme this morning. Aren't you glad that we've got a God, amen, that don't just hear us, that don't just know about us, but a God that cares about us, and a God that one day soon, let me tell you where we're at. If you look in Revelation chapter 3, the last verse, there's a space about that big before it says chapter 4. And let me tell you where we're at. We're living in that space. We're living at the closing of Revelation chapter number 3. And you know what happens in Revelation chapter 4? We're leaving in chapter 4. Oh, yes, we're living right now in chapter 3. And I'm going to tell you what, before the sun comes up in the morning, there may be a new chapter open up in our life. Well, hallelujah. There may be a new chapter open up in our life. I'm not talking about a job change. I'm not talking about an education change. I'm talking about a life change. Thank God before the sun comes up in the morning, the Lord may come up. Hey, we may lay our eyes to rest here. And the next thing we see in the morning when we wake up is the Lord himself. Thank God he delivers. Amen. He's coming back. He's coming back. He's coming back. 20 years this year I've pastored here. 20 years. Boy, it's been a good 20 years. And you say, well, preacher, you're going to stay another 20 years? Well, it all depends on what the Lord says to do. If he tells me to, I will. If he tells me to resign next week, then that's what I'll do. I'm going to do what he tells me to do. But in the past 20 years, can I say this to you? The past 20 years, I've stood with some of y'all in the lowest moment of your life. The saddest moments of your life, I've stood with you. I don't know why, Brother Josh, but in recent days, I guess because of Uncle Jerry being diagnosed with ALS, I sure have thought about Miss Bridget a lot. And I'll never forget the first service that Mater and Bridget came in and sat down. And I'll never forget. They sat with Miss Gloria. That was Miss Gloria's granddaughter. Sat with Miss Gloria. Brother Josh had an old pair of blue jeans on. It was ripped up. And if that's the best you got, thank God. Come on to church. Somebody say amen right there. Old T-shirt on. They was living in a little old trailer over there that should have been condemned 20 years before they moved in it. And I went over there and seen him. I said, man, it's good to have you at church. It's good to be here. Good to be there. He's scared to death. He acted like that day I showed up on his doorstep. I didn't come to bless him out. I come talk to him about Jesus. And boy, I watched him and Miss Bridget get in church. I watched them rededicate their life to the Lord. But Josh was the first preacher to ever send a redditor to preach underneath me. First one we ever ordained, first preacher I ever ordained. Him and Miss Bridget was like mine and Miss Leslie's youngins then. Well, we tried our best to take them on. We used to make radio CDs. I'm about done. We used to make them radio CDs. You remember them radio CDs? We was on WYZD 1560 on your AM dial. Thank you for tuning in to the Amazing Grace Baptist Church broadcast today. And we was on WYZD, and I would make them, and on Wednesday night, Brother Josh would take them. But one week, I'd got behind, and I didn't make them to Sunday afternoon. I had to be on the air Monday morning. So I told Brother Josh, I said, make sure you take his by and put it in the door. You went up those steps where it used to be Miss Shannon. You remember that. I said, make sure you put that in there. Brother Josh and Miss Bridget started up the road. And Josh decided he was going to get a sneak peek of the next week's broadcast, what was going to come on that Monday. So they put that in, the CD player. And if you remember, Miss Bridget loved her high heels. She wore them big old high heels. I don't know how in the world she walked in. They got to the radio station. Brother Josh hit eject in that Dodge Stratus. They hit six beagle dogs in it one night and tore the whole front end off of it. Coming to church. Hit eject, and guess what? It didn't eject. Josh said he looked at Bridget and said, the preacher's going to kill us. We got to get that out of there. And he said they worked. He said finally, Bridget slid that seat back in that Dodge Stratus and hiked her leg up and took that high heel. Wham! Whoop! That CD come out, put it in the sheet, and put it in there, and it played the next day. Boy, I thought a lot about her. I'm glad this ain't it, buddy. Miss Carla, Brother Keith was such a man of God. Loved the Lord. I'll never forget. I was sitting at Zion Hill Baptist Church in the Prophet's Chamber that morning when I got the phone call. I was preaching revival. I'll never forget. Servant of the Lord, faithful to God. Boy, I'm glad you're happy together. But I think I can talk to y'all like this. Ain't you glad this ain't it, though? Ain't you glad this ain't it? But Josh, I'll never forget that day. I walked in the house. Your dad was in the floor and we was doing everything we could do to help him. But aren't you glad that ain't the end of the story? Ain't you glad that ain't it? That's not all there is to this thing. Boy, if that was all there was to this, we would be, of all men, most miserable. But boy, I sure am glad there's a brighter day. The other morning, my phone went off. Goes off every morning at 8 o'clock with an email from Notebird. It said there was a birthday that day. I thought, well, and if you're on that, I get an email about it. If you didn't put all your information there, I don't get an email about that, and I can't tell you happy birthday, okay? So don't get mad at the preacher giving this illustration. You didn't put your information in there. It went off. I thought, well, let's see whose birthday it is today. I opened it up. It said, Christy Potts. And I thought, man, I sure wish I could text her and give her a hard time today. I remember Miss Christy was working at the sheriff's office. And the office manager had left, and me and Graham sat down and talked. He said, would you consider being an intern office manager for a little while for me? And I said, yeah, I said, I'll do that. And I'll never forget, we went in there in Graham's office. Christy was working there then. We went in there in Graham's office, and he got all them women around. I thought it was bad living with a wife and three daughters, but then I had to supervise about eight women at one time. And thank God for women. And I'll never forget, we come out of there, and I went back over there and where my office was going to be at and sat down and started organizing things. Christy walked in there and flopped down. She looked at me, and she said, well, I just don't know what to do. I said, what? She said, you're just not my preacher. You're my boss now. And I said, yeah, and you better live right too. Because if you don't Monday through Friday, I'm going to know it, and I'm going to preach about it on Sunday. What I'd give to have been able to text her and say happy birthday. But Robert, this ain't it. This ain't all there is. We might be in Becca right now, but thank God we can go through that. Why? Because God delivers. God delivers.